I'm not going to be preaching to you this morning. I'm going to be sharing a testimony of the great things God has done. And when I've talked to God and asked him for things, you know, we do that, all of us, I think, who believe in Jesus and have him as our personal Savior. And we pray and we hope something happens when we pray. And then when something happens, it's great. It brings great joy to our hearts. And we've all experienced it. And I've experienced it. But in this last 10 years, God's taken me on a journey that's just been incredible in this area of prayer. And I've come to realize that God is much bigger, much greater than I realize. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. So instead of going right from day one of my life and spending like 2.5 hours here talking about it, I'm just going to pick up about 10 years ago when things really started to change in my prayer life. And what happened is I decided to quit my job. After being a machinist for 30 years working for other people, I decided, I was looking at my barn and going, I want to start my own shop. I don't know. I'll just buy the machinery, set it all up, and do all this, build walls. Man, that's a perfect shop. I can work right from here. That's really good and dandy if you can get work. That's the easy part. Anyway, so I'm going to pick it up from there. Started the business. Statistics at the time were 88% of new businesses fail. Okay, at the time when I was starting. Well, I didn't care. They didn't know what they're doing, right? Okay, so I start my business, and well, first thing first, you know, I know nothing about running a business, of course. I've been a machinist, worked for other people who run the business. So I'm going to go, and I'm going to get some business cards made, right? That's a good plan. So I got, I don't know, 500 business cards. I went out and went knocking on doors. Of course, that's where you start, isn't it? Cold calls, that's what you do. And 200 doors I went to, and then somebody says, no, a good friend of mine says, you gotta set up a website, man. So I set up a website. It was $100 a month. Made a three month prescription with it, or subscription on it. And guess what? After 3 months, I didn't even get one phone call. I didn't get one job paying for this thing. I go, that's it. I'm scrapping this idea. The 200 doors that I went to, I got one job. I made $200. After 3 weeks, and you know, these cards and everything, and I'm getting frustrated. Like, I'm trying everything. I didn't realize there was loyalty and all that kind of stuff built into all this business world, and nobody wants to give me an opportunity. I'm down, and I prayed, like, and I said, Lord, I'm trying everything, and this is stuff you need to do, right? And so on. And I'm kind of complaining to him. He's not helping. So the Lord answered me. He says, if you want something, why don't you ask me? Oops. I forgot to ask him for help. Go get those cards, man. Do this and do that and do this. Didn't even pray about it. I can do this. I forgot. It's funny how fast we forget. Anyway, so the next day after this little episode, I'm driving into Langley. I'm just taking care of some other errand. I live on 2 acres. We're fixing the house, renovating. We're doing the yard and everything. I'm doing something totally different. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart. He said, go to West Central Building Supply. It's a place where I went and bought lumber so I can do the rentals on the house. I go, Lord, man, you got this one wrong. This is a wood place. I don't do wood. I do metalwork. Go to West Central Building Supply. I says, okay, I'll go. I walk in the office. I go to the front counter. I says, by any chance, do you guys need anything made out of metal? There's a cubicle of guys, salesmen. One guy stands up out of the cubicle and says, did you say you do metalwork? I said, yeah, I do metalwork. He says, great, I need 10 saddles made. There are things that you set in concrete and it's got this post that comes up, and you put a wooden post over it and drill bolts in. This thing just sits in the concrete. It's made out of metal. It's called saddles. He says, I need 10 of those. When can you build them? I said, right away. I had no delay going on right now. Okay, so I did that, and I thought, wow. And I finished the job, and I thought about it. I says, you're right, Lord. I didn't even ask you. Sorry about that. Forgive me for that. And slowly but surely, work started coming in. That thing just kept going in my mind. Ask me. You didn't ask me. And I thought, well, okay. So I got led one day to drive in Langley, different area, and I went to a big bakery, biggest bakery in Canada, called Weston Bakery. It's right across Canada. It's all into the States, too. I go over there, and I just knocked on their door, and it says, I talked to the maintenance manager. The guy came out, and he says, hey. I said, do you have any work you need done? And he says, yeah, I do. And from there on, this guy's been my client for over 10 years. Been my bread and butter. The Lord just led me to this place. I didn't even know the place existed. I didn't look in the phone book or anywhere. I just drove right into their parking lot, and I go, what is this place? Oh, a bakery. Okay. So, you know, amazing. Then another company that I used to work for, and they're also. So I got two clients only. So I got my eggs in two baskets, one in that basket, one in that basket. And God's taken care of me wonderfully. And I thank him. And that's great. So anything amazing about all that stuff? Well, all this stuff has built trust in God and built faith in God. So I can trust them more. Okay? Okay, I'm going to take you to the next thing. So now I'm working away, and a few years have gone by, and things are going pretty good. I'm not, like, making record amounts of money or anything, but I'm making, we're surviving, everything's good, we're happy. I'm looking down at my property. It's kind of two levels, kind of, our property. It's a couple acres. I'm looking at top of the hill down below, and it's really wet down there and swampy. And, well, let's just say it the way it is. I didn't have money. I had money to live. I had money to pay the mortgage, food, and so on. But I need to build a road. It's 300 feet long. You know, you need money to build a road, right? John Hovistel, do you need money to build a road? You need money, yeah, it costs money. So I'm standing on top of the hill, I'm looking down, and I get the craziest idea. And I go, I looked up to heaven, I said, Father, are you into roads? And I said, could you help me with this? I need this road down there. I got a tractor. It's all mud. I can clean all that out, but I need something to put in there. I need to put concrete in there, and then after that, I need to put road base on it to smooth it all out so you could drive down there. So I said, Lord, if you could help me out, I'd be more than happy. I'm having a talk. I'm just having a conversation with God. I'm not even, was I praying? Well, that's what prayer is. It's a conversation. We've made the word prayer into something religious, that you got to get down on your knees, or you got to go into your clothes closet, or you got to do this and that. And those things are biblical. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But prayer is also a conversation with God, just talking to him. Because we have a Father in heaven. And fathers like to talk to their children. They like to talk to their sons. I never had an earthly father who liked to talk. So I never thought of God before as Father. I always thought of God as Lord, the superior authority. Because my dad was an authority figure pretty well only in my life. And then about 10 years ago, a little bit before that, a church guy said, Yerky, always when you pray, it was we were in a prayer setting, like morning prayers on Tuesdays at CLA. He said, you always use the word Lord. I never heard you say Father. I said, you're right. You're right. He says, why is that? I explained it to him, and then he says, yeah. He says, start using Father. He says, you might feel a lot closer. So I did. Anyway, so now I've adopted that and changed that, and it helped me understand a little more that It's not just an authority figure, our Father in heaven. He is that too. But he really, really wants to be a father, to love you as a son. And he wanted to show me some stuff along the way here. And that's what I'm sharing with you right now. So I'm looking at this road. And so I also said, well, I prayed after that. And I said, Lord, help me find some of this stuff. And I at least get it cheap, you know. So I talked to my neighbor. He happened to be into concrete business. That was pretty convenient, right across the fence. And he cuts up old concrete stuff. He actually took down the old Portman Bridge. That was one job he got. And he got the job because we prayed together. It was amazing. That's a story in itself. Anyway, he got this concrete. He brought me 6 loads of concrete, big truck. And with my tractor, I moved it down there after I got rid of the mud, placed it all down there, just like a jigsaw puzzle, just chunks and chunks and chunks. Now I got 200-300 feet of road of just chunks of concrete. You can barely walk on it, you know. You can't really drive on it. It's all. You need something now to fill it. So I'm up there. After that comes, done that, and I'm up there again. I says, Lord, I need this stuff called road base, but it's so costly. It's $450 a truckload. Back then it was. It's more now. I think it's $550 or $600, something like that. One truckload, and I figured I need 6 truckloads in there. So that's a chunk of money. When you're not like have money, my wife didn't work, it was just me, so everything was coming out of my wages. I'm trying to figure this out. So this was September, October. I talked to a guy at church in CLA and says, do you know where I could get some road base cheap? And he says, yeah, you can't get that stuff cheap anywhere as far as I know. It's just everybody wants it. Everybody building needs this stuff. So anyway, months go by. February, there's a knock on the door. And this guy's standing behind my door. He says, hey, Yerk, you still want that road base? I says, yeah, you got a deal on some road base? And he says, yeah, we got some road base. The company I work for, we're just finishing the subdivision, and we got this leftover road base, and, you know, it would be really handy if we could bring it to your place instead of trucking it farther. Is that okay? I said, yeah. I says, how much do you got? He says, well, we got 6 truckloads. And I'm going, well, that would be just about right. And he says, can we bring it tomorrow morning, Saturday morning? I said, absolutely. He said, trucks will be here first thing 9 o'clock. They'll start coming in. I said, wonderful. One more question. His name was Cliff. I said, Cliff, how much is this going to cost me? He said, no, it's not going to cost anything. This is a deal for us. If we can get rid of the road base, bring it here, we'll just bring it here for free and nothing. You can have it. I'm going, thanks, Cliff. Well, you know what I did next, right? I walked outside that place where I prayed, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, thanks, Dad. Thank you, Father. You're amazing. How do you do it? Like, how is this possible that you even care? How do you care about roads? How do you care about rocks, concrete? Why do you care about us? Why do you care about me? Why do you love me? He didn't say anything. He just went on. Okay, this gets weirder. Here we go. So we're living life, got the road built and all this and that. Now, it's coming on summer, right? And I've had this itch for a boat. And I'm going like, man, I just really want this old boat. And I looked for months looking on Craigslist. And finally, I found this boat. It's in Portland, you know, and it's 3,400 bucks or something. And I go, that's the boat I want. It was, everything was right. Our money was on par at that time. It was really close, within a cent or two. So I said, I want to go down there. So this is Friday. Me and my wife go down. I've called the guy. I said, don't sell it. I'm coming. We go down there and buy this thing. It was a project boat, but I liked it. Okay. And so before we took off, I prayed. I said, Lord, is it okay if I buy this boat? Like, do you mind? Like, does it fit the plan and we have for my life and everything? And is it okay with you? I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Am I doing the wrong thing or something? I felt okay about it. So we went and got the boat, come back, parked in the yard. My wife, Maria, went inside, Mala, and She goes inside, and I've got the thing detached from the trailer truck now, and I put my hands on the boat like this, and I looked up and says, "Dad, I bought a boat." I guess you already know that. And I'm excited about it. Just talking to my dad just like it was my earthly father. Okay? So I do this thing. I says, "You know, I'm gonna do something I've never really thought about doing ever before, but Father, you know my business I run and all the work I do, and is it possible that you could bless me with extra work so I could get this thing paid off? Because money's a little tight, you know, and so on. Could you help me out? And I'm not asking you to send money from heaven. I'm just, if you would bless me with work that, just extra work I could do on the side so I can get this paid off a little faster." I left it at that. Tuesday, I get a phone call. A client I'm working for, it called Metal Mart. They're in Langley, and they're probably all over the place. There's other places. And they do machining for people who come in and buy metal from them and all that. So I was their off-site machinist. I would do a lot of their machining. I had this thing going for a couple of years. So at that moment, the guy who takes care of the work calls me up and says, "Yerky, we have this job. UBC wants to get some rods threaded. And they need a thread on both ends of the rod. They're 5/8 rods, you know, an inch or two of thread on each end. They need it really quick. Could you do it? Do you have time?" I said, "Yes, I do have time. How much do you want to thread those, the rods?" I says, "Well, man, it's just so fast, I can't really think about it." I says, $10 an end. How's that? Covers everything." He says, "Okay, but will you do it for $20 an end?" I said, I just said $10 an end." He says, "Yeah, well, would you do it for $20 an end?" I says, "If you really twist my arm, I'll do it for $20 each end." He laughed. He says, "Okay, it's a deal." I had no idea. Never had this happen before. He says, "Sure, you're not gonna turn down free money," in other words, right? I'm not connecting this to what I just prayed. So they bring me these. Well, I had no idea. We never even talked about how many there was. There was 80 of these things. So I set up my machine, and it had like a threading attachment. I just whipped through these things. And that day, I did them in 4 hours, these bars. 80 bars, $40 a piece. How much is that? That's $3,200 I made in 4 hours. Never have it ever happened before or ever happened after. In 4 hours, $800 an hour. I went outside. I said, "Man, I got to get connected to this God better." And I'm going, "Lord," it was bringing tears to my eyes now. I said, "Lord, I don't understand your love. I didn't have words. Thank you. I paid off my boat except for $200. So I had $200 and of my own money, obviously, and I paid off the boat. I did it in 4 hours. I did it, but God blessed me with this one job. Why? Because I asked him. A lot of times, guys, you do this and I do this. I've worked hard, I got money in the bank, and I can do and buy what I want. I don't have to ask anybody anything. You see, up until 10 years ago, I worked for other people. I had a paycheck come every single Friday. Every second Friday, I had a paycheck. I knew how much it was right to the cent. I know what I'm going to mortgage. I know how much it's going to go this. I know what's going to be left over. You don't have to pray to God and ask for anything. You know the check's coming. You get into this mindset, 30 years of doing this, you forget to pray, you forget to ask God, and you forget to involve him in your life. And then you get a crazy idea to quit your job and start your own machine shop, and next thing you know, that's all you're doing is praying. But it's the best years of my life, these last 10 years. I have seen God help me so many times. So many times, so many times. So within 5 days, and that's including a weekend, my boat was paid off. Does God love boats so much? Other than him sitting, standing in a boat and preaching, we don't really have much record of him really loving boats. But he loves people. He loves you. He loves me. But most of all, he wants to show himself to you. And he wants you to realize that it's him that's doing it. Well, when you work for other people, it's him also. He's given you the job. And he's blessed you. He's blessed you with your money in your bank account. That's also from God. Make sure you thank him for that. Prayer. It's so important, a part of our lives. And prayer is the hardest thing to do. You can read this easy. You can study this easy. But pray is harder. Especially some hard prayers, fervent prayers, where something is really pressing you and your heart is really into it. And I'm going to share the next story about that next now. As you already noticed, my dad was a very difficult man to live with. My mom and dad split when I was 14 years old. And it wasn't my mom. It was basically us boys who we walked out and said, "Mom, you're coming with us or not?" Because we're not living with this guy anymore. It's just driving us crazy. It was just constant war. And God has never intended marriage to be like that or life. We just couldn't handle it. It's just been going on too long. So the split happened. I know the congregation, we were the first family in this church's history to have a divorce. But it had to happen. There was no other way. Anyway, I'm sad about that. I really am. Anyway, through the years, you see, all the stuff, the beatings and everything my dad did to us physically, all the abuse that he did to me and my brothers, caused in me personally, and I know it happened to my brothers too, caused in me hatred. I didn't hate my father so much. I hated what my father did. How he treated us, how he faked it at church that he was a Christian. And he would take us to church. I didn't hate that part. I liked that part. But people thought that it's my mom's fault. This guy, he knew how to act. And I hated the hypocrisy. I hated it. And then the way he treated my brothers. I could tell you stories that make your stomach turn, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to speak about my dad like that. He's still my dad. I have to honor that part. But I started praying at about 27 years old. We had a new pastor come to this church. And his name was Jack Junk in English. And he had an anointing on him. He spoke about the Holy Spirit and how we need the Holy Spirit's involvement in our life. And without it, we're not going to get a whole lot done, which is true. And that just something in me came alive. I started to get a hunger for this word like you would not believe. I started to read it in the morning before to work. I took it to work at the first coffee break. I read it lunchtime, second coffee break. I took it home. I read it before dinner, and I read it after dinner. I was reading it so much. I got so fired up and so excited. I couldn't hold it anymore inside. And then things happened, I helped out with the youth at the time in this church, and so on, so on, so on. That's not what I'm getting to. But at that age, 27 years old, 28 years old, 27, I started praying for something I'd never prayed before. I prayed that God would reconcile me and my father. And I knew this is the only avenue it's going to work through. There's no way I can go to my dad and start talking about our life and reconciling it. Because according to him, he'd never done anything wrong. And you can't communicate with somebody who says they haven't done anything wrong. They have to be able to see they've done something wrong before you can even talk. So I started praying. Every day on the way home from work, same part of the highway, the day before I'd prayed that section, I prayed, tears coming down my eyes, and I'm praying to God. I can barely see the road. And I said, "Lord, I ask that you would reconcile me and my father. I can't live like this. If my dad dies, I can't live with it. That I've never feels like I never had a good moment in my life with that man. And that's not the way it should be. This is wrong. And I'm doing this every day. It's every time I remember, and I won't say every day, because sometimes I forgot or something came up. But the days I go to work, most of the time I was praying for my dad on the way home. I did that for 7 years. Some people have prayed 40 years for people to help God save them. That's nothing new. 7 years I was praying for my father. And then something happened. I got invited to go to Valpakirkkalehti and Nunspe. And I was 35 years old at the time. The pastor who led that church was Tuomas Jäntti. Some of you know him. That was his name. And he invited me to come there, and I don't know. I didn't really want to go. I didn't really know anybody there and stuff. But I don't know. His invitation was so warm, and I thought, you know what? Maybe we should go. So we went. We went there on a Saturday morning, took the ferry, and we were there. I get there, and the craziest thing happens. He says, Jyrki, you're staying for the evening, right? I said, yeah. He said, you need to speak in that evening service. I said, what are you talking about, man? I said, that's your main service where people are expecting for God to show up, and you're asking me to come and talk? I says, come on. He says, no. I feel in my spirit God wants you to speak in that service. I said, man alive, I'm not prepared for this. And I'm just almost shaking. I says, my goodness. Well, I says, are you sure? He says, I'm sure. I want you to do this. He says, you need to do this. I didn't know what God was doing. But I've been praying for my dad for 7 years. I forgot about that. We forget about these things, you know. And maybe it was intentional. So from that moment on, I disappeared. I went and found a cabin. And I went and got on my knees. And I got into some fervent prayer. Heavy duty. I was on my knees and I was praying, and I was just speaking in tongues and praying to God, and I was yelling out loud for God's help and Holy Spirit, please be with me and help me. I prayed for 2 hours. I'm not boasting. Man, I was desperate. That's what it was about. I was just desperate. I said, how am I going to go in front of those people? I got nothing. So the Lord laid on my heart to say some, tell this story when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? And I get up there, and I tell the story, and I'm standing there, and I don't know what to do next. And I'm just ready to walk down, and then the Holy Spirit says, invite those people up who have once been fired up in the Lord. And somebody came along and rebuked them and told them, stop faking it. Stop faking being a Christian or a fired up Christian, because there's people here who have been treated that way by leaders. I'm going, whoa, did I hear right? And it did, I heard right. And so I said, there's people here who've suffered this way. I'm going to ask you to come up here for prayer. I'm totally now, and no man, I've never been down this road before. And they come up, so I says, Lord wants me to come and pray for you. So they're lined up. There's 9 of them. 9 people. And I walk up to the first person. I was going to go and just lay my hands on him and pray for him, a blessing. I didn't even get close. And that person fell over. And I went to the next one, fell over, fell over, fell over, fell over. I get to the last one. It's the power of God. And God was showing me something, and it wasn't me, obviously. I get to my dad. He's the last one. And I go, oh, boy, here we go. I go to put my hand up and just was going to bless my dad. And the guy starts violently shaking. I'd never seen anything like that either. I go, what is this? And for some reason, my dad got up. And he bolted. He ran out of that church, the sanctuary, the camps, that big room. He bolted and ran behind a cabin. After the service over, I went looking for my dad. What happened? What's going on? And I go behind a cabin. And I saw something I'd never seen in my life before.
My dad was weeping, just crying hysterically. And he sees me coming, and he puts his hands out, and he says, "Yerky, will you forgive me for the type of father I've been? I've been a horrible father to you." And he said, "Yerky, I love you, and I am proud of you, son." I'd never heard these words in my life. Not once did my dad say that he loves me. Not once did I see my dad cry, and never did he say he's proud of me. He cared a lot of other stuff, but not this stuff. And I thought, "Oh my goodness, God, you're good." And I grabbed that dad of mine, we hugged him, we cried, and I said, "Then forgive me, Dad, for all my bad thoughts against you and towards you." And we hugged and we cried, and such joy came into my heart. And after that, we were friends. First time in my life, I was friends with my father. Brothers, prayer is powerful. There's nothing prayer, talking with God and having faith in what He can do. God's not limited. And when we believe in Him in faith, things can happen. I'm telling you, mountains can move. And my dad was one of those mountains, and it just crumbled in the power of God. I'm telling you, it just still makes me excited. And I can't say anything about it more than that. Excuse me. Could use a napkin, actually. Oh, boy. 7 years of prayer. It was worth every second. It was worth every second. What is really important to you? What's screwed up in your life that really you would love to see fixed? God can do it. God can do it. But will you turn to Him? Well, you might be saying, "Well, Eric, I've prayed to God and nothing happened." Yeah, I understand. I've done that too. But ask again. The Bible tells us in many places, keep coming back, keep asking. For some reason, sometimes it takes that. In my dad's case, mine, God had to arrange everything. And He had to prepare my dad's heart. And He had to prepare my heart. And He had to prepare everything for this Holy Spirit meeting. It happened under the Holy Spirit's power. And that's the only way it would have happened. God is powerful. The Holy Spirit is real. God is real. You got to believe it. You see, I'm going to say something. God honors faith. He honors faith. When you have faith in God, He honors that. And faith honors God. When you have faith inside, you believe that God can help you, it honors God. And then God honors the faith. And then things start to happen. If I just pray a prayer and I don't believe it, that's not faith. It's faith when you really believe it. I know God is in this with me. And I know He's going to help me. That's what it is. It's a deep trust also. Okay. Got a little bit of time still. I could tell you a lot of other stories that have happened. Lots of other stories. And I'm going to tell you one more. And this is my wife. See, sometimes the Bible tells us that God will take care of all our needs. He'll take care of us. He's promised it. But it also in Scripture it says that God will give us our heart's desires too, sometimes. Heart's desires. The boat was our heart's desire at the moment. Had nothing to do with being a Christian, really, other than I turned to God. But it was just something I wanted. And father wanted to give a gift to his son. Isn't that cool?
To me, that was a gift. $3,200 gift in 4 hours.
I had to work a little bit, yeah.
But still, all in all, it was a gift. Because normal, my shop rate was $60 an hour. That's quite a raise of pay. Anyway, for those 4 hours.
So my wife has this, we got this 2 acres. We've been working on it, working on the house and everything. My wife's had this, always had this desire to have a horse. And she's telling me about this desire to have a horse. And I'm thinking, well, that's wonderful. We have land here and all this and that. Horses are expensive. You ever seen a horse eat? Do you know how much a horse eats in money a month? Anybody have an idea?
$3,200.
See, seems to be the right number today. So, on the average, before COVID prices, the average horse eats about $300 worth of food a month. $300. Now, I wasn't really ready to sign up for $300 a month to feed this doggone critter. And my wife wanted this doggone critter, so she started praying about it. And I says, okay, pray about it. She looks on Craigslist, and she put an advertisement that says, I'd like to get a free horse. And you look at Craigslist, and there's horses for sale, like, you know, $1,500, $3,000, and $5,000, and all this kind of stuff, and $500 maybe, but you didn't see any free horses. Well, the telephone rings. He says, you know, young lady there says, I got this old horse of mine, his name's Bruno, and I'm going to college, and my parents are moving, and I need to get rid of this horse, and I saw your ad, and I thought, maybe you'd want to take my horse. And she talked about it, and yeah, this could be a free horse. And we went and saw the horse. It looked real nice. What do we know about horses? But anyway, you know, it could die the next day. It was so old. So anyway, we look at this horse, and they say, yeah, okay, good. Let's make a deal. There's no money involved, but anyway. And they come over the next day. They bring the horse on the trailer, and they bring a saddle, and they bring, a bundle of hay, and well, I wonder how long that'll last, you know. Anyway, so we're there, and everything goes good, and my wife's just so happy. So we got a fenced-off area down below of a corral where we kept the horse, and we had a horse stall already there. So everything's good, kind of set up for that. So people drive away, and now we got a horse. And one bundle of hay. Next day, that bundle was gone. And I said, dear wife, what are we going to do about that now? She says, I don't know. Let's go down to that Milner, it's called Milner Farms, and they sell hay. So we walk in there, and we're looking around. It says, how much does the hay cost? Well, the good stuff's $22 a bundle, and the cheaper stuff's hay, but you can't feed that to a horse. It's like, starts at $11, the stuff you can feed to a horse. And then it goes like 15 and 22 is the alfalfa. It's really nice. It's deluxe. It's like a smorgasbord for them. Anyway, so we're looking around, and then we're just walking through there and looking around. I says, boy, there's a lot of hay on the ground in here, on the floor, like, it's a big barn. And I says, well, what do you guys do with all the stuff on the ground? Like, is this waste? Yeah, it says bundles break and stuff, so it just all over the place. And we sweep it up and we give it away. Well, would you consider giving us a bag? I said, sure. You help us sweep it? I says, for sure. We'll help you. We'll sweep it. For sure. We swept it up, and we had all one of these big, huge tarps that you wrap lumber around. Lumber's wrapped in. And it was, and they brought stuff in to sell, like, I don't know if the hay was wrapped in it, but stuff's wrapped in it. It had like, I don't know, it was like 12 by 12, maybe these used tarps, kind of, but they weren't tarps. Anyway, we swept everything in there off the floor, and the place was clean. They said, man, this is awesome. Thanks, man. And we put the bag in like that, and went and got my trailer, came back, we loaded, took it. Now we got this
We got a ton of hay. Like,
and that hay lasted a week.
Well, that was Sunday always. That was Sunday we went there, and then, so we went back the next Sunday and says, hey, how you doing, man? The guy says, good. We walk in, there's hay all over the place. The guy says, hey, do you want us to sweep the floor again? Yeah, please, I don't have to do it. That would be wonderful. We swept the hay. We had our own bag with us. We swept it up, put it in the trailer. We already had a trailer with us. And the guy says, man, come back anytime. I said, I'll see you Sunday. We went back for 2.5 years. You see, God can do exceedingly more than you can ask for. My wife asked for a horse. She forgot to ask for the hay. But God says, you're going to need hay, Maria. You're going to need some hay. And he led us to that place. But here's the funny part. And this, I love this part. We get all this. You can't get better than this. Free hay. So we're going to go away next weekend. Okay? So that we need hay next Sunday to pick it up. But we won't be there to pick it up on Sunday. So this Sunday, we're telling the guy, says, well, maybe, I was thinking maybe we could go and just ask him if he could put some aside for us. So we get there on Sunday. Next weekend, we're going to be away, so we can't go there. And we say, we pull up there. That's how it was. We pull up there, and there was 2 bags already collected. And the guy says, oh, there you are. Glad you came. We got a lot of extra this week. So we had 2 weeks worth. Waiting, threw him in the trailer. I drive out of that place and I'm going, how did you know? How did you know we won't be here next week and we need a second bag? Well, God doesn't always ask, it just speaks itself. And it just says, see that? And we're like, man, we have a good God. We have a good God. So today, I'm just going to end it up, it's getting close. I want you to realize that God is for you. God loves you. But I want to also say something, that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this stuff's not going to happen. He does this because he loves his children. But if you don't want to be his child, I'm sorry, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. But if you want in, you want into the family of God, and you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to see the mighty acts of God in your life. You might not need hay, but you might need something else. And you can turn to him, and he'll hear your prayer. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not a born-again Christian, as the Bible says, and you come into the family of God, in other words, you've turned from your wicked ways, you've turned from your sins and say, God, forgive me. I want you to come and be a part of my life. I want you to be Lord and Savior. I want you to be my Father. I want you to take control. And I want to put my faith in you because I know you are real. And I love you as my Father. If you want to do that, you have an opportunity to do that today. And I want to encourage you to make a commitment to Jesus Christ today. And if you, brothers that are here, have been walking this road and it's been awfully dry for a long time, and you just need that touch of God in your life once again, I'm going to ask you to make a fresh commitment. To do what? To start talking to your Father. Start reading his book, because his book is full of such riches and blessings ready for you to explore. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart when you're reading this, this stuff popping out at you, and it starts blessing you, and it starts to live, and it starts to live in you, and it starts to change you, it starts to cleanse you, it washes you inside out and backwards, and people will start to notice, and you make a difference in this world everywhere you're going. That's why. Because that's what Jesus wanted in the first place. And God wanted us in the first place. Ephesians 3:20 says, God can do so much more than you can ever imagine. So much more. So this morning I've wanted to come to encourage you guys to dig in deeper. come before God. And if there's somebody here who hasn't taken this step yet, I encourage you to not leave until you do that. Because we never know our life, how it goes. We don't know the opportunities we'll ever get. Anything could happen. Could be an accident. We say, yeah, sure. Oh, the accidents happen every day out there. So it is possible. But today is the day of salvation, according to the Bible. This is the day, if you haven't received Christ, this is the day to do it. Because you don't know about tomorrow. I've had 2 heart attacks. I don't know about tomorrow. But I know I've got ready. I'm ready. I've got things set with God. So if he takes me away tomorrow, see you guys. We'll see you later when you guys come. I don't know. And neither do you. So I want to ask you to bow your heads right now.